Hi guys, today's podcast is going to be fairly short and sweet, but it's something that I wanted to talk a little bit more about because I've been having a lot of conversations with people that follow me or people that are within my private community about kind of this perceived, well, I'll talk about it in a few different ways, but this perceived inability to push back on. I'll use doctors as an example, because I do want to talk a lot about what I would call white coat syndrome. But the funny thing is, if you Google white coat syndrome, it'll pull up articles about how some people get higher blood pressure when they're at the doctors. When I refer to white coat syndrome, I mean the syndrome, the psychological syndrome that people feel like they cannot say no to doctors. But I also want to talk about something called social proof. So to me, this all kind of goes together. And I think it's incredibly important in this day and age with social media being the way that it is and people not taking the time to critically think about their decisions themselves. So I was listening to Tony Robbins the other day talk about this concept of social proof. And I know it more so as kind of herd mentality. You probably will be more familiar with that particular term, herd behavior, people being called sheep and things like that. So social proof is actually a term that was coined by an author named Robert, I believe you pronounce his last name, Cialdini. And he wrote this book in 1984 called Influence. And it's also known as informational social influence. So I'll describe it a little bit more. So it describes a psychological and social phenomena wherein people copy the actions of others in an attempt to undertake a behavior in a given situation. So social proof is considered prominent in ambiguous social situations where people are unable to determine like what to do, basically. What is the appropriate mode of behavior? It's driven by an assumption that there are people that surround you that are more knowledgeable about a current situation. So great examples would be like with COVID. So this person is an MD. So I'm going to look to them to tell me what to do instead of using my own critical thinking and my own research and my own thought processes to figure out if that is really what I believe I should do as a human being. Now, is this a totally understandable thing to do? Of course, we always look to expertise, right? Like if you're trying to figure out if your child has allergies, you will probably go to an allergist. If you are concerned that you might have cancer, you probably will go to an oncologist, right? It's not an unintelligent behavior necessarily, but it's what you do in those scenarios. So let's just use the example of you have a lump in your breast as a woman and you are concerned that it could be cancerous. So you go to one doctor. Well, the whole concept of second opinion is because you might not like what that first doctor has to say and you might not think that they necessarily have the best plan for you. You hear what they want to do, but you know that there's not just one way to become cancer-free, right? Or to work on the situation that's going on. Or there are doctors, because we are all fallible human beings, who miss things, right? Who look at the puzzle pieces of your body. They look at your age. They look at your genetic history. They look at people in your family who may or may not have had cancer, and they come to a conclusion that it is likely not cancer. And then so they go, let's wait 6 months and then we'll look again. And you go, no, I would like a biopsy done. And then they go, well, we don't think a biopsy is necessary. And you're like, well, I would like one done. In those moments, you don't need to leave and go, well, the doctor wouldn't give me a biopsy, so that's it. It's like, no, that's not it. You fire that doctor and you go to another one, right? I think most people would agree that that's not an unreasonable thing to do, but there are a lot of people who leave those scenarios going like, well, quote unquote, my doctor or the doctor I saw made me feel stupid or made me feel like I didn't need something to be done, so I'm not going to get it done. But just because somebody has gone to medical school and has specialized in something doesn't mean that 100 times out of 100 times they make the correct choice, or even that they make the correct choice for you. I know people who are healing their cancer holistically and not using forms of radiation or chemo at all. So that's the thing, is that because it's not just one way to work through something. And obviously everything is situational and everything is personal. especially when it comes to our health, right? So just to use that as an example, so the effects of social influence can be seen in so large groups typically to conform to choices, but they conform to choices whether they are correct or mistaken. So this is a great, great, great time to be thinking about this, guys, because the reality is there are massive amounts of misinformation around COVID-19. And I'm just going to say it. I'm tired of tiptoeing around it. I've shared it a little bit on social media. Now, here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you think that you need to wear a mask everywhere you go, you need to sanitize your hands every 5 minutes, you need to, you know, be incredibly careful, and you're a young, healthy adult who takes care of their body, that is your personal decision, and you are absolutely allowed to make that personal decision. I believe it is not necessary based off of tons of published studies and medical journals and plenty of doctors and expertise saying the same thing. Now, there are people, now it depends where you choose to listen to, but it also, I believe this because I have taken advice for quote unquote experts on the all the way right side of the spectrum who are saying that this is super deadly. We have to social distance. We have to wear masks. We have to do all these things, right? I've looked at all those studies. I've looked at those experts and listened to them. And then I went to the other side and I said, okay, let me study and look at these other studies and look at these other doctors who are just ringing warning bells in all sorts of different countries, including our own in the US, but also all over Europe and everywhere else, who are more holistic in thinking and who have published studies and who also just make logical explanations. And I sit there and I take both sides in and I critically think and I ask questions and I figure out where I stand as a human being. And I have come to my, what are right now, as of August 13th, my conclusions. Now, could something change if science changes? Because guys, science is not settled. Keep that in mind. Science is never settled. It changes every single day. We might not have cures for cancer right now, but we might in 20 years for certain cancers or for certain things. So the science is not settled. So I think it's important to remain flexible in our thought processes, but to also take in what these quote unquote experts are saying from both sides and then come to your own conclusions and really critically think through that. That's why the same thing is you shouldn't be going, Kelly is, you know, done her research and done her studies on things, so I'm just going to take what she says and run with it. No, critically think on your own, guys. Do your own research and your studies. I have come to my conclusions and I will share what my conclusions are, but you never, ever, ever, no one should ever take someone's conclusions and then just go, well, this person said it, so we're done. This person said it, so we're done. This person said it, so I don't have to think about it. No, of course we should. I was listening to Tony Robbins talk about this, and he was talking about how, you know, for a living, obviously, he talks about mindset and he talks about how we should, you know, think about things and how we should feel about things and operate. And that's what he does for a living. But he's like, but I want people to question me and to figure out if what I'm saying applies to their situation or applies to them as a person, right? And then move forward from there, because it might work perfectly for them, what I am sharing and what I am doing, but it also could not, right? I'm a human being too, and I could be wrong, or what I'm sharing could be wrong in their personal circumstances. If you have a young child who has leukemia, you should absolutely be careful of things like COVID, but you should also be careful of the flu and of all sorts of other germs, right? Because their immune system is completely compromised if they're doing traditional cancer protocols, right? Like, because your immune system is just completely attacked. If you have serious, serious autoimmune diseases, you need to be careful always, not just of COVID, but always, right? Because our immune system is what makes this. If you have a robust immune system, guys, there's like a 99.67 chance or 99.67 recovery rate. This is not a pandemic of the body. It's a pandemic of the mind. And the reality is at the end of the day that numbers are being massively misconstrued. Again, do your research, massively misconstrued. Hospitals are being incentivized to change the numbers, and they're being incentivized. There are plenty of doctors and nurses who have come out and talked about this, being incentivized to mark deaths as COVID-related deaths or COVID-caused deaths. Big money, guys, big money. There are doctors who are being pushed to label it. What's really ridiculous is that the amount of people that actually have COVID right now and don't know it is massive. I am convinced that my whole entire family had it several months ago. We woke up with chills in the middle of the night, massive headaches. The kids were not feeling good for like 2 or 3 days, and then we were all fine. You know why? Because I hopped on vitamin Z, I hopped on B12, I hopped on vitamin D and zinc. I made sure we were all drinking broths. I made sure we were hydrating. I made sure we were drinking good foods and staying off of sugar. And I supported our immune system with what we needed. And guess what? We were all fine. We had very, very distinct characteristics. And that's the other thing that's really ridiculous about this whole thing is that there are tons of symptoms outside of the ones that the CDC and the FDA are listing that are related to COVID. So just because you don't have big respiratory response to it doesn't mean you don't have COVID. But guess what I also didn't do? I didn't go and get COVID tested, guys, because I didn't need to because I was fine. We were all fine. And so that's the thing that just boggles me too, is that everyone gets sick and they're like, well, I have to go get COVID tested. No, you don't. Are you well? Are you well? Like, this is what we've got to be asking ourselves. And don't get me wrong, there are certain places that if you aren't feeling well, they will be like, well, you can't come back to work unless you get COVID tested, you know? And then that's just something that you're going to have to deal with because of your job, right? Or your personal circumstances. Maybe you have a daycare that says, well, he had a fever. So anyone who has a fever has to get COVID tested before we let them come back. You're going to have to obviously figure out what you want to do for your family in order to continue to move on with that school or with that job, whatever it might be. But social proof right now is massive. And let me just talk a little bit more about that. So social proof is a type of conformity. So when a person is in a situation where they're unsure of the correct way to behave, they will often look to others for clues concerning the correct behavior. So when we conform because we believe that other people's interpretations of an ambiguous situation, like what's happening today in society, is more accurate than ours, and it'll help us choose the appropriate course of action. This is an informational social influence. This is what we see in the mass media. This is what we see on social media, because people are just hashtagging things and going like, I'm going to do this because this seems like the correct behavior to have. I'll use another example, Black Lives Matter. Did not talk about this on my social media because it was so pervasive that I just felt like the likelihood of having a positive intellectual conversation around it was slim to none. It's interesting because it had this massive wave, right? It was super heated. It was super polarizing. If you weren't sharing it all over your social media, you were just dubbed a racist. But the thing that people don't take time to actually look into is that Black Lives Matter, the movement, is different than Black Lives Matter, the organization. And what people didn't take the time to look into is that the organization that was taking and accepting funds, we're taking those funds to support candidates. It was a complete political maneuver in terms of not necessarily the people who were sharing it on social media who thought that what was happening to people like George Floyd was terrible and has been terrible in the past, right? Like nobody, I don't think anyone was arguing that. Nobody's saying that these people's lives don't matter. Of course they do. Every single human being's life matters. Violence committed against anybody matters. Like that is a huge, incredible injustice. It matters. It always matters. We need laws to change. We need obviously people's minds to shift around things like race. But the problem is that Black Lives Matters, the organization, is completely corrupt. Look into it again. Look into it yourself. Do your own research. And they take their funds and they were putting it towards candidates. So you have to realize that that money was not going towards social justice. It was going towards paying for certain candidates to have influence. So you have to ask yourself, was it about the fact that people's lives matter? Was it about police brutality? Or was it about people trying to get elected so that they could do what they needed to do or whatever agenda that they have or want to have? We have to critically think about these things before we just throw up hashtags and black out our feeds and say that, oh, anyone who doesn't do this is a racist. Guys, that is such a great example of social proof and people being influenced to behave in a certain way because there were certain groups of people getting online saying, this is how you have to behave if you're a good human. Let me tell you something. There are millions of people who are amazing human beings who think that all violence is wrong. And you have to start critically thinking, because when you also see things happening like hashtag save the children getting blocked off of Facebook, you have to ask questions, guys. Why does pedophilia not matter? Why do kids getting raped every single day and molested and murdered not matter? So you have to ask yourselves, are people being used for political gain over something that is very easy to mask as a very justified movement? Because if it was really about Black Lives Matter, then why did it disappear pretty darn quickly, you know, relatively speaking, even though, yes, there are people out there still pushing it forward, right? Individuals. And then why has something as massive as, guys, the amount of people that are enslaved sexually and enslaved for labor right now is the biggest issue we are absolutely facing on this planet. It is insane what is happening right now. And it's getting blocked. Can you just ask yourself, if you're someone who's listening to this and going like, oh my gosh, Kelly is the worst human being ever. Think about this, guys. I ask you to genuinely think about this. Can you imagine a world in which Facebook blocked hashtag Black Lives Matter and didn't let people post about it? Can you imagine what would have happened? Because imagine what already, well, you don't have to imagine. Look at what already happened. People created mini cities within US and declared them like their own countries over Black Lives Matter. And there are millions of children who are being raped and sold all over the world. And the hashtag that was created to support awareness around that injustice has been blocked off of Facebook. If you don't think that this is political, you're not looking. And I'm just going to say that. You can think I'm wrong. That's fine. You have every right to think that I'm wrong. But you are not opening your eyes and you are completely brainwashed. Because they want to brainwash us, guys. They are influencing what matters. They are influencing what people look into. And you know why? Because there are massive pedophilia rings. It is not a conspiracy theory, guys. It is proven. There is social, there's not social. I'm looking for the right word. There are tons of ways that you can get your hands on actual court documents and on actual proceedings that are happening with people who are pedophiles. Start looking into Jeffrey Epstein. Start looking into Elaine Giswell. Start looking into Epstein Island. Start looking into the fact that Chrissy Teigen took down 60,000 tweets. Guys, these aren't conspiracy theories. Like, Chrissy Teigen really took down 60,000 tweets that all referenced pedophilia. You can find them. At a minimum, you have to ask yourself why. Why are these hashtags being blocked? Why are certain movements gaining traction? Why are other ones being completely blocked? Why are people not allowed to talk about holistic ways to support their bodies through things like COVID-19? Why are people really, really offended at the comparison of the flu to COVID-19. Like, we have to be asking these questions and then critically thinking about it. You're allowed to come to whatever conclusion you want. But I'm just sharing the conclusions that I have come to because of the fact that I am seeing things and listening to things and questioning things and not conforming to beliefs based on experts. we need to take things in. So we need to go and go, okay, I see this person talking on social media about this thing. I'm going to start looking into it. I'm going to do my own research, which, by the way, is becoming something that is considered, like, you have to see the brainwashing that's happening online and with mass media about doing your own research. Like, it's actually, when you start to see it, guys, and when you start to look for it, it's crazy what is happening to our world with, shaming is what I'm looking for. Shaming people for doing their own research and critically thinking on their own. People are going, like, if you don't have letters next to your name, i.e. PhD, i.e. master's, i.e. doctor, you are considered unable to make a critical decision over your health, over your life, over your country, over legislation. And that is a problem. Guys, it is a problem because the fact that, because what we are saying now is that people who have letters behind their names or who are, let's just call them pundits on television for mass media, are now the ones who get to make decisions for everybody. Guys, nobody should make a decision for you about your life without your consent. That's not how, like, that is the whole point of being in democracy, is that we are a nation of the people. All right, I'm not going to get too much further into that. Just think about it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about conforming to social proof and then why I think this matters now, not only into relation to these massive social things that are happening today, but also just a general thing that's happening when it comes to our personal health and doctors. So social proof also leads not only to public compliance, which is conforming to the behavior of others publicly without necessarily believing it's correct. And then, so meaning like basically not sticking up for what you actually believe because you're concerned about the fact that people will rip you up for it, which I have absolutely been guilty of because it does happen. And, you know, not wanting to be bullied is kind of legitimate, but this is why I'm speaking out about this, because I think it's so important that we do so. But also private acceptance. So conforming out of a genuine belief that other people are correct. And social proof is actually more powerful, scientists have found, sociologists and psychologists have found, when being accurate is more important and when others are perceived as especially knowledgeable. So you can see this again happening with the medical world a lot because people are like, well, I'm not a doctor. You kind of hear that a lot. Well, I mean, the doctor said. So we get made to feel like because we haven't gone to medical school, there's just absolutely no way that we could make an intelligent decision about ourselves, our spouse, our children, fill in the blank. So I've been having a lot of conversations, several actually this past week with various people about things that they are being told in their pregnancy, things that they're being told by their pediatricians about all sorts of different decisions and actually taking action and doing things that they actually didn't want to do or don't want to do because their doctors made them feel like they had to do it. Guys, this is something that I get fired up about because medical facilities are businesses. No one would ever think that you were crazy for going into, let's just say, a coffee shop. And you go into the coffee shop and you order, let's say, a latte, and they give you a smoothie, whatever, just for the sake of the analogy. And you go, oh, this isn't what I ordered. And they were to look at you and say, well, but it's what you should have. The latte really isn't good for you, so I'm going to give you the smoothie instead. If you were like, well, I'm not going to pay for this. And they were like, well, you have to because we made it for you. And we made that choice for you that what you were choosing wasn't really the right thing. So we're going to give you that smoothie and you're going to give us $5. People would be like, what? Are you insane right now? Any rational human being would go, that's not what I asked for. You're a business. I'm paying for this. And I asked for a latte, right? Anybody would think that way. Well, newsflash, a medical facility is the same thing. You don't get to tell me Now, you can tell me what your opinion is, right? I do go to pay for your opinion, for your thoughts, right? I go for medical advice. But that's what it is, guys. It's medical advice. I go in there so you can weigh my child, measure them, check them out, listen to their heartbeat, check their blood pressure, whatever it is it might be, and then tell me what your professional opinion is, right? That is all. I don't have to accept your professional opinion. I can go to someone else. I can fire you as my medical, you know, person. I don't have to do anything that you say that I have to do. Now, because they are a business, can they tell you how you have to operate within that business? Sure. So they can make the decision that as a business, they will not see anyone who will not vaccinate their kids, for instance. Well, guess what you can do? Go, cool. Well, I'm not going to vaccinate my kids because I've done my research and this is a decision I've made for my family, and I'm going to go elsewhere for my medical advice because I don't agree with this particular decision. And I have that autonomy as an intelligent, informed human being to go somewhere else and bring my business, because that's what it is, guys, bring my business somewhere else. What ends up happening is I see people choose a pediatrician or choose a doctor for their pregnancy. Guys, you can change your doctor all the way up to the last day if you would like. You can walk into an ER if you really want to give birth and just say, I don't have a doctor and I'm in labor. You could. You could find a midwife who can come do a home birth. You are not tied to any doctor. And I see this happen a lot to him. Now, is it inconvenient? Sure. Is it difficult? Yeah, it's not going to be easy. But can you do it? Of course. Of course. Now, are there certain practices that will not take you when you're 36 weeks? Sure thing. Does that mean that you are stuck with your doctor? Absolutely not. So let's remember, these are businesses, and businesses choose how they operate, but you can choose where to purchase from. And it makes me so frustrated and so sad that we are sold these lies, that we don't have a say in our health, in our decisions. So when you go and get an ultrasound and they say, oh, well, we think X, Y, and Z is happening to your child, you can go get another ultrasound from another doctor. If you don't think they're right or something doesn't feel right about it, or if they tell you because you're over 35, you have to have certain tests done in pregnancy, you don't. You don't have to have a gosh darn test done in your pregnancy if you don't want to. You don't have to have 12 ultrasounds if you don't want to because you're worried about what the ultrasound effects might be on your child, guys. Look into that a little bit. You don't have to be induced. Yep, guys. If you want to, you have the autonomy to go to 43 weeks if you would like to. Nobody can make you be induced. This is one of my biggest, ooh, I get so mad about this, guys. I get so, so, so mad. I hear people say all the time, well, they will only let me go to 41 weeks. Well, this doctor will only let me go to 42 weeks. Well, this doctor is telling me I have to get induced by next Tuesday. I'm going to try not to cuss. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. I'm going to repeat that again for the people in the back. You do not have to do anything you do not want to do. You do not have to be induced at 41 weeks because you know what you can do? Not show up to the appointment. Did you ever think about that? So let's say you're going into your appointment at 40 weeks and 2 days and your child has not come and your doctor is a real douchebag. Sorry, I get so mad about this. And they tell you, sorry, mom, if you're listening, and they tell you that they're only going to let you go to 41 weeks. Guys, please do your research on this. Please, if it feels wrong and you are stressed about getting induced, it probably is wrong and you probably have every right to feel stressed about it. Because guess what? When you do your research, induction, unnatural induction is quite unsafe to the mama and the baby. And there is tons of science on this, guys, and it creates what's called a cascade of interventions because it is a medical intervention to induce a woman with Pitocin, breaking her water, all sorts of things. And it oftentimes statistically leads to more medical interventions like when you have Pitocin, the likelihood of you getting an epidural is much higher. When you have an epidural, the likelihood of you getting a C-section is much higher. Do your research. Don't want to have a C-section? Then research, guys. Research, please. So what ends up happening is people are made to feel like they don't have a choice because doctors speak to them like they don't have a choice. And people conform to that social influence because they go like, well, my doctor told me I can't go past 41 weeks. Stop and think about that, guys. Think about what they're telling you. That's so crazy. That is so, so, so crazy. You know what you can do? What, you know what you have every ability to do? Go, okay, and then don't show up for that induction. They can't make you show up for it. And then you know what you do? You wait until you go on into labor on your own. And then you know what? You show up when you're in labor. You don't have to necessarily change doctors, right? If you can't find a doctor who will take you at 39 or 40 weeks. But you know what you can do? You cannot show up for the induction. You cannot answer their phone calls. And then you can go on to, into labor on your own. And you can show up when you're in labor and you're 6, 7, 8 centimeters dilated, and then have that baby like you wanted to. So please, guys, please do your research. Please follow your gut instincts. Please get second and third opinions. It drives me nuts. Same thing for with kiddos. Now with vaccines, to use as an example, it's much more difficult. Much more difficult because we now have legislation in many states, at least here in the United States, that you, if you want your kid to go to school, they have to be fully vaccinated in public school. Some states you can get an exemption, a religious exemption. Some states you cannot. So some parents have to make the decision of, okay, do I want to homeschool? Or do we need to move states where we can get an exemption? So those are big decisions and difficult decisions. No, I'm never going to minimize that. Big decisions. But you do have a choice. There's always a choice. Now, does it mean that choice is going to be easy? Moving states, choosing to move away from family so that you don't have to put something in your kid's body that you don't feel right about is a huge decision. It's really tough and it really sucks that we are put in that position as parents legislatively. And I think it's completely against our constitutional rights, if I'm being honest. But I want to talk about this because I've had so many people message me about, well, like for instance, there was someone who messaged me recently saying like, did you say no to the flu vaccine in your pregnancy? And how did you say no? Did you say no to the Tdap vaccine in your pregnancy? And how did you say no? And then I've had people ask me things like, well, are your kids vaccinated? And if not, how did you say no to your doctor? And every single time I hear that, don't get me wrong, guys, this is not a judgment. So if anyone who has messaged me those things is listening to this, guys, this is not a judgment on you. It is me going, and I've said these things to these people privately too, going, guys, we always have a choice. Like no one can make you do anything. And there are things happening right now in our society. And the reason this is so important to understand is because it bleeds into what is happening today in our society with COVID. Guys, there are countries like New Zealand right now that if you test positive for COVID, aka you choose voluntarily to go into a hospital, or I don't know, maybe they are doing involuntary COVID testing right now. I haven't seen that. But and you test positive, they are now going to lock you up in a facility, in a quarantine facility where you're not allowed to leave. That is some sci-fi shit, guys. That's crazy. That's called a jail. If you didn't know what that was called, that's called a jail cell. That's nuts. You're allowed to check yourself out AMA, against medical advice, right now in America. But they're looking at changing that in places. Like you don't have a say if you test positive, whether or not your baby is separated from you in some countries. If you test positive, you're going to get locked up in a facility? Guys, that's what we do to people who've lost their minds. That's what we do to criminals. And they're going to do that because you've tested positive to a disease that has 99.67% recovery rate. And that most people don't even know that they have because they don't have any symptoms, or their symptoms are so light that they think they might have allergies or the common cold, that should terrify every human being to the core. But the problem is, because of social proof, people are starting to think that they don't have a decision in their own medical choices. And this should terrify us. And we have to speak out about this because there are way too many people who have been made to feel like they are doing the socially and morally and ethically upright thing by conforming to this. Oh, I'm protecting people. I'm protecting old people. I'm protecting grandma by letting people lock us up in quarantine facilities, wear masks everywhere we go, not let our children go to school unless they have a COVID vaccine. We are giving our rights away, guys, and we are being told by mass media that it's the morally upright thing to do. Please stop and consider what the long-term ramifications for our children and ourselves could be. Because what's next, guys? What's next? You can't choose whether or not you have a C-section. You can't choose whether or not you get the COVID vaccine. You can't choose whether or not your kid is, let's say, circumcised, or whether or not you have autonomy over what goes in your body, or whether or not you have access to certain medications you may or may not need, whether or not you get a microchip put in your arm. Guys, we have to understand that we are setting precedents medically and legally right now that could have terrifying ramifications for our children and for ourselves and for our future. And I urge you to critically think about these things. Again, check everything I'm saying. Do your own research. Come to your own conclusions. This is where I am after 6 months of research. This is important. It is important to understand that you can say no to the vitamin K shot when your baby is born. You can say no to the eye ointment when your baby is born. You can say no to the Tdap vaccine when you are pregnant and the flu vaccine when you are pregnant. You can say no to the flu vaccine always. Never had one. Never had one. Guess what I've also never had? The flu. Guess what else? You're 6 times more likely to spread the flu if you get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fact. Hashtag fact. 6 times more likely to spread the flu if you get the vaccine. Guys, let that sink in for a second. You're not doing what's morally upright and protecting others by getting the flu vaccine. In fact, you're spreading the flu. So this isn't talked about. Why isn't this talked about, guys? That's a really good question. Why isn't this talked about? Why do our doctors push the flu vaccine on us so much? I urge you to go down that rabbit hole and to do some research. I'm going to do a whole bunch of podcasts on this, but it's a great question. That's a fantastic question to ask. Why, if that, the question you should be asking is, if that is true, then why do they push the flu vaccine on us? That is a fantastic question. And what you will find, if you are open-minded and research, is that A, insurance companies incentivize practices and doctors financially to have these vaccines done, and they actually get financially rewarded. Now, the reasoning behind that could be many, but that is part of it. There is a financial incentive. Whether or not you think it's a malicious or benign incentive, they are incentivized nonetheless by insurance companies here in America. I'm speaking to socialized medicine is a bit different. There is also the fact that most doctors do not know what is in vaccines because they don't take the time to read vaccine inserts. Most doctors have about 4 hours of vaccine education their entire career. That's pediatricians, guys, who give all the vaccines. Technically, the nurses do. The nurses the same, 3 or 4 hours total in their education on vaccines. And it's the education that they receive is just like, here's the vaccine schedule. Here's when you give them, here's how you give them. Like, that's what they're being told. It's indoctrination. And again, if you're a nurse or doctor listening to this, this is not a criticism of doctors and nurses. I wish they would do more research, but this is just the system they're brought into, right? And they know no different, most of them. But we have to sit here and go, like, I had an illuminating moment when I had people questioning what I was talking about and the fact that I'm not a doctor. And I actually said to myself, well, okay, let's critically think about this. So I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pediatrician. I did not go to school for pediatric medicine. But I can actually factually say that I know more about vaccines than my pediatrician. Now, you would have to know your pediatrician, right? And you would have to know how much research they've done. But if you talk to them, you usually can figure it out or find out, right? Because I brought to my doctor the amount of aluminum that was in each of the shots that my child was getting and brought to them my concerns about the aluminum that was in these shots that my child was getting. And I was told not to worry. It's not a big deal. I wasn't given evidence. I wasn't given science. I wasn't given the vaccine inserts. I wasn't given hard medical studies on why it's okay to pump so much aluminum into my kids' veins and for it to go into their brains. I wasn't given that from my doctor. I was just told they're important and it's okay. That shows you how little my pediatrician knew. And likely all she really knew was about those 4 hours that she got in medical school. How many hours of research had I done and how many medical studies had I read on vaccines? Hundreds of hours. So I can factually say that I know more about vaccines than my doctor. I can actually say that, guys. So you probably could too. If you put in hundreds of hours of research and read hundreds of studies on vaccines, likelihood money is that you know way more than your pediatrician does on vaccines. So when people make you feel like you're a fool or you couldn't possibly critically think or understand how vaccines function in your body or your child's body because you don't have letters next to your name, stop and critically think about what that person is saying. Because anybody can read medical studies and anybody can learn to read medical studies critically. And anybody can learn to ask questions and anybody can learn to push back. And anybody should be able to make decisions about their child or about their body. I'm just using vaccines as an example because it's a hot topic and because it is something that is a current problem and applies to our society as a whole because it's becoming more and more mandated by government that we do something that affects our health. There's so much more I could and will say about that topic, but it really frustrates me because I'm meeting women who are being told by doctors and being said things like them, like, hey, we're going to do the flu vaccine today. Like they just assumptively say that. And when people are pushing back, go, actually, I don't want it. They're going like, okay, but you'll get it next visit. Excuse me? I won't do anything that I don't want to do. So doctors are speaking so assumptively and are making people feel like they don't have a choice about what happens to their body in pregnancy. The most fragile time in your entire life is when you are being grown inside your mother's womb. Guys, are the vast majority of our, it's the other thing we have to think about with vaccines. You get the majority of your vaccines from 0 to 2. The most growth a human being ever experiences in their entire life, neurologically, is 0 to 3. 0 to 3, guys. So 2 out of those 3 years, you are pumped full of neurotoxins. Kids are getting over 50 vaccinations now, total, meaning like not 50 some shots, but total into their body. They're getting approximately 50, depending on where you live and what things are happening in your country. Guys, this is big. This is so huge. And we're being told that we're nut jobs or quacks or conspiracy theorists for doing massive research on something that most doctors don't know anything about or barely anything about. That's a big freaking deal. And so if you are pregnant and you are being told that you can't choose when to have your baby, that doctor is wrong. I would consider firing them and getting a new one. If you are being told that you don't have a choice whether or not you receive a vaccine in pregnancy and they're talking to you like you're just assumptively going to get something, I would consider firing that doctor and getting a new one. guys. I'm going to do a whole episode on natural birth soon because it's a topic that I am so passionate about, and that I actually went to doula training, and I was like 80% through doula training when we decided to move to Mexico, so I didn't finish, but it opened up my eyes to natural birth. It's why I had both my kids at birthing centers. It's why I chose midwives. It's why I chose doulas. It's why I chose no pain medication, all of these things, guys. So all this to say, I had to get on here and talk about this because it's been brewing in me, and it is something that I'm getting a lot of questions about. And I'm having so many conversations with friends and family and people in my community who are messaging me going, basically saying, how do I say no to my doctor? And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad because no one should ever feel that way because they are a business. It is a business and it is a service they're providing and you pay for it. So if you go to a restaurant and you hate the food, you're probably not going back, right? So if you hate the advice, fire them, guys. It really isn't that hard to find another doctor. I promise you. Promise you. Also, this is a great time to talk about interviewing doctors. Interview pediatricians. Interview oncologists. If you get diagnosed with cancer, interview your doctors. This is so important. My husband and I chose a holistic doctor recently, a functional medicine doctor. And I loved what he said in the consultation. He said, we are making sure you are a right fit for us as you are making sure we are a right fit for you. And I was like, amen, amen, hallelujah. Because at the end of the day, you should be going into a doctor asking them about their thought processes, how they function, right? Just like you would interview any company that you were using for anything. So I hope the takeaway from today is, think about social proof. Think about critical thinking. Think about the decisions that you are allowing others to influence one way or another. Think about the voices that you're letting into your life. And think about what you can do to create the confidence in yourself to remember that you are going into a business when you're talking to a doctor. And also to think about what's happening in our society and why it actually does matter and does warrant a lot of questioning, a lot of questioning. Think about where you're getting your information from and think about why. Are you only getting it from social media? Are you only getting it from mass media? Are you reading books and articles? Are you critically thinking and having conversations with people around you that you love and really thinking and being open to being wrong and changing your mind? These are big things. These are big questions. Big questions, guys. So that's all I'm going to say about this. I'm going to talk more about medical choice soon. I'm going to talk more about, I'm going to do episodes on vaccines. I'm going to be doing episodes on natural birth. If you have anything else you would like me to do episodes on, and I'll be doing a lot of science in the natural birth episodes and the vaccine episodes. So I'll be providing a lot of this. This is more of an opinion piece. This is more of an episode on conversations I'm having, experience I'm having, and just new ways of thinking. This is a mindset episode, really. But I will be doing more. The research episodes take me a long time because I have to get all my notes together and all my science together. It takes a long time, but they are coming. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have episodes you'd like me to write on or to produce, then send me an email. Hello, H-E-L-L-O at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, A-N-N, Carpenter, C-A-R-P-E-N-T-E-R.com. I will put this in the notes as well, so you can check it out there. And you can always go to my Instagram at The Detoxed Life, and you can shoot me a message there as well. I would love to interact with you all and hear from you. Thanks for listening, guys.